The date is the 2nd of September 2015. My name is Clara Melassian Cook. I'm here in Tower 2 on the LSE campus interviewing Graham Camfield as part of the 120th anniversary of LSE. Graham, please can you tell me your full name and your date of birth?
Graham Paul Camfield, 2nd of February 1952.
And Graham, please can you tell me when you first came to LSE?
It was in November 1976.
And what did you come here to do?
I came, it was a job in the library, in cataloguing. It's my first job in libraries. I'd had a year previously at Sheffield doing my MA in librarianship. And before that, a year's experience at UCL in the law library there. And I came to LSE, and of course, it was a very different place in 1976. And I was started working there in the cataloguing department. I really came here because they wanted someone to catalogue books in Russian and other East European languages, and Russian had been my first degree.
What was your first impressions of campus?
I think my first impression I remember wasn't so much of campus, but it was of people. And the first person that I encountered was a very aged member of library staff, Dr. Plant, who had been at the library many years. The library then was in the old building, and of course very different than it is now. Lots of corridors and places here and there. But campus was very compact, unlike it is now, much more spread out.
And what did you think of your colleagues when you first met them? What were they like?
They were fine. They were welcoming. I think I've always found that LSE library staff have been really nice people, but I think as always when you start a new job you're a little bit apprehensive, and it was a very different regime there. Everything you did was carefully checked. It was a good place to be, and it's always, I say it has been a good place to be, particularly in terms of people and colleagues that I've worked with.
How was the library different then? Was it a different atmosphere because it was in a different building?
It was a different atmosphere because in those days pretty much all of the research collections were on closed access, and researchers, staff, academics had to request things to be fetched. All that material was in closed access in the basement, mostly, of the old building, in locations with wonderful names such as the tennis court and the battleship and other odd names which I don't think anyone ever remembered why they were so called. On the ground floor and above there were some reading rooms for students, but at that time undergraduates couldn't borrow anything from the main library. They had their own teaching collection, which was over in the East Building, which they could borrow from. As I said, everything, the work I did was thoroughly checked. It had to be absolutely spot on to go into the library catalogue. And of course, it was card catalogue in those days. It was a bit of a maze of corridors, the library, because there was the ground floor reading rooms, there were some upper floor reading rooms, and I particularly remember the law library, where the walls were so high and the shelves so high that you had to climb up ladders to get to the law reports and other things.
You mentioned the card catalogues. Obviously that's completely gone now. Did that make work easier or harder?
Probably harder. All the cataloguing was done pretty much originally by staff here, unlike today when so many libraries, you can borrow their catalogue records, and the work is really done for you, or even book suppliers now supply records. But then it was the library cataloguer doing cataloguing, and there was a lot of staff doing that work. In those days there wasn't any information desk or help as such for readers. There wasn't any academic liaison with academic departments. If anything, I would say there was perhaps a bit of a standoff between the library and the school, which wasn't a good thing. The card catalogue, yeah, I think probably made it more difficult.
Do you feel nostalgic about how different the library was then?
In some ways. It was a different atmosphere there. I had the feeling that perhaps there were more eccentrics around in those days, amongst academic staff, also library staff, and maybe you just don't notice them these days, or perhaps I've just become one myself, I don't know.
How has your post changed over the years?
Okay, so I started in cataloguing, got a junior post, and after a few years I became involved in book selection, starting with Spanish and Latin American material. And then I had the opportunity to... they formed a new department called Information Services and Collection Development. I became part of that, and my focus then was really on selection of pretty much all foreign language material. That's not to say that I know all those languages, but those I didn't know, I could sort of get by sort of with a dictionary. I moved into what was then acquisitions, then it became collection development. And probably, I think it might have been around 2000 when the library had was undergoing its refurbishment, that I was asked to lead the team of collection development, and that's what I've been doing since, really, for the last 15 years.
Is it? Do you enjoy it?
I do, pretty much. Yeah. I think the thing I find hardest at the moment is the pace of change. There's always been change, but at the moment with technology, social media and all sorts of other things, it's hard to keep up. That may just be my age, I don't know. But
so what you're saying is, in this particular field, the rapid pace of technological change affects the day-to-day workings of your team?
Over a period of time, yeah. We have to get to grips now with social media, with all sorts of new things which were never ever part of our lives before.
So that sounds like a challenge. Thinking back over the time here, from like the present to when you first started, what have been like the main challenges here of working at LSE?
I suppose one was the various moves that we've had in the library. Originally, as I said, the library was in the old building. With some material outstored, but then in 1976 we moved into the Lionel Robbins building, as it is now. Before that it was, of course, Strand House, W.H. Smith Warehouse. That was obviously a huge piece of work to move into Lionel Robbins, and the biggest change that happened there was that everything that had been closed access before now became open access, and everyone could reach the stuff on the shelves and take it off and read it and study much more easily. we were successful in that move, and the library was there from 1976 until, I think, 1998-99, when the plans were brought out for the complete refurbishment of the library, which meant, and this was a big challenge, that about 70% of the... Was it 70%? The library moved to a building which had just been recently vacated by the British Library. It was previously the Patent Library, just over the other side of Lincoln's Inn. So we moved out a lot of material, and other material went down to a store on Ossery Road, which is just off the old Kent Road. So there was a van going every day backwards and forwards fetching stuff that people wanted. The library was closed for 18 months during that refurbishment, but it's always been a proud boast that we only closed service for one day. And it worked pretty well. The building over at Southampton Buildings, where we were, was yet another maze. It always reminded me of maybe a Victorian asylum, with all these little rooms down in the basement with big iron doors. And you just imagine sort of padded cells and readers who got lost down there maybe years ago. You know. So that was a big challenge for all library staff. But we came through that, moved into a brand new building, which is still very much a showpiece, I would say. Although when you work there, you just sort of take it for granted, and not until you step back or talk to someone who's just sort of amazed by the building that you realise how good it is.
So that sounds like a very positive thing as well. Looking at the other side of your sort of memories, what would you say have been the highlights working here, like the things that have really stuck out in your mind?
I've been here a long time, and I think I would say that the reasons that I've stayed here, this isn't perhaps quite answering your question, but it may be in a way, are firstly the library itself, the amazing collections there, where I've been able to do my own research there. Also, the fact that the LSE, the library in particular, has always been a very go-ahead place, lots going on, new projects, new developments, very much in the forefront of libraries in the UK, I would say. But also, I mentioned already, the library staff, my colleagues there, over the years have been brilliant. So those three things, I think, have kept me here for a good long time.
Do you have a favourite part of the library or the library collection?
I'd have to say it's the Russian collection, really, because that's what I've been... One of the things I've been working with ever since I started, from cataloguing onwards. I still select books from Russia and Eastern Europe. It's a place where I've learnt a lot, where I've been able to do my research, there's a lot of sort of a lot of gems there in the Russian collection, but even more widely in the library, lots of gems that we have which need to be sort of brought out to people's attention a bit more, perhaps.
There's something quite unique about the library at LSE, which I'm not sure a huge amount of people have heard about, or until recently, is that you have this collection at the top connected to
the Women's Library.
Can you tell me a little bit about any involvement you might have had with that?
I had some early involvement with that. We took in the Women's Library in 2013, and obviously we had to think about how it was going to mesh with our own library collections. And it was obvious quite early on that while the Women's Library has a focus on women's campaigns and women's experience, particularly in the UK, the main LSE Library has for many years been collecting material on women worldwide, basically, and gender issues and so forth. And together, I think they really complement each other well. So a lot of my work was doing a comparison of where the maybe the overlap points were between what we had at LSE and the Women's Library. Obviously, there was some duplication. I think overall, it's been a huge benefit for LSE. When the Women's Library was in the balance and its future was being questioned, it seemed quite obvious to a lot of us that the best place for it would be LSE, because of the huge opportunities. To anyone who wants to use the Women's Library, they can also come and get a much wider view also from our own library collections.
Have you been involved in any staff networks or recreational activities while you've been here?
No, not really.
Actually, most people say no. I don't know why. We have that question. I've asked so many. I think it's because LSE's in London and people are very busy.
Yeah, could be.
Just generally, how do you feel LSE has changed over the years?
I think perhaps it'd be fair to say there's more cohesion, and by that I mean particularly in relation to the library. The library is now closer to the school, trying to work as closely as possible with staff and students. Obviously, in terms of space, the campus, which was once concentrated around the Houghton Street and the very near vicinity, as it spread out to the NAB and the towers and the land registry building. So the campus has a sort of spread out. But I'd say generally, communication is probably better, and I think people working here have a better sense of what's going on in the LSE generally than perhaps they did some years ago.
What do you think the future of LSE will look like, and what will the future of the library look like?
Well, the future of the library is going to be very much influenced by the whole area of digital publishing. We're already seeing that. At the moment, we're looking at different ways that we can use space in the library. So in the future, a lot of the space which is now occupied by bookshelves may not be so, and that material may perhaps be digitised or stored elsewhere. But digitisation is going to make a huge difference and really open up our collections. And for example, one of the big areas that we have and is really rich is the area of government publications, including things such as reports from Indian states in the 19th century, with lots of statistics and description of economic and social conditions. All that stuff is there, locked up in print volumes. If that could be digitised, then that will release for study and research a whole new area. I think that's true of the digital revolution anyway. And that's going to affect the library. I think our book stacks will shrink. There will be space for different ways of working, for students, group working, whatever. So, yeah, it will look very different in even in 5 years' time.
With the expanding population of students every year getting bigger and bigger, and what it looks like is that staff here anticipate that there'll be more and more students in the future, how does that affect the library? How does that affect you?
Well, it may mean that students come in less to the library, or they need to come in less because of digital availability of their material. At the moment, the library is always incredibly busy with people, and I think something might be lost if students have to do a lot of work away from the centre of campus. Particularly the social and learning together aspects. I guess that could be handled through social media and things, but I don't think that's quite the same. What I was going to say now. No, it'd be a shame because there's a whole social aspect, even in the library. I think students do come into the library to see their friends, as well as work, and I think it's a great social space. Whether the new student centre has affected that or not, I don't know, but I think students need to study. Right now they need to come into the library, so they do use it as a social space, and I think that's good.
We've had lots of rumours about how students tend to use the library for all sorts of things. We've heard that students go and they sort of sleep there, and do the students use the library as a home away from home?
Some may well do. We have, of course, the beanbags in the library now. You've never seen a beanbag in the library in 1976. Perish the thought. But they've been hugely popular, and yes, students do sleep on them during the day. Whether that's because they've been studying all night, I can't say. There are tales and rumours of, and perhaps sometimes evidence of students eating pizzas in the early hours of the morning. I don't think it's necessarily a home from home. It's they make use of it for their. I'm sure they're just obviously power napping when they're asleep on the beanbags.
Well, libraries do tend to be quite, as well as using them for research and for work, people do use them for pleasure as well. They are safe, comfortable, quiet, peaceful places. Especially in a very busy city. Do you think the library is being one of those places on campus where people can get the peace and quiet, especially when the campus is a central city campus?
I wouldn't say that the library is a place of peace and quiet. It's often quite noisy. Now, the way it was designed was that with the book stacks away from the periphery, around the perimeter of the library, the workspaces there, a lot of the noise from the centre would be muffled by the book stacks. I think to some extent that works. If you compare it, I think, with a library such as King's down the road, that's more what I would call a traditional library, and little quiet nooks and crannies there where you can work peacefully. It's been quite a task, I think, for the library because of the design of the library. You have that big central open space, people working at the bottom, the noise travels up, and it's been difficult in a way to stop that. And we don't want to stop that because that's part of the social aspect that I remembered. But again, students do need to piece to study, but it's getting the balance really. So we've had a number of zones. So there are quiet zones, not so quiet zones, and zones where you can talk more, freely and use your mobile phones. I think one of the things that sparked the idea of zones, and they have this in many libraries now, was somewhere where students could use their mobile phones. I think the mobile phones have really made a difference to the level of noise in the library. Not that they're noisy, but it means that everyone's connected all the time and they will take a call wherever they are, be it in the library or elsewhere, which wouldn't have happened some years ago.
I imagine that's quite a problem in lots of different areas,
yeah.
Such as theatres, cinemas,
Yeah. It's the same now, yeah, everywhere. Yeah.
So you've pretty much answered all my questions and been very succinct and to the point. So I feel like you may have been interviewed before. So just looking back on everything that we've talked about, is there anything that you wanted to tell me that you feel that I haven't asked you about?
No, I don't think so. I probably covered everything I thought I would say.